And lives are being transformed, and you're going to get a taste of that tonight. And I always like to say this to the church family. Please, let your heart be warmed tonight with the work of God through the Johnson family. Because you are indeed a partner together with this family. We are. And what a joy it is for them to be able to come in on a midweek service like tonight and to be able to share with us to what God has allowed them to do and the open doors. Many of you know the Johnson family, Brother Eric and Holly. Holly grew up in this area. She was a member of this church at one time, in fact. And she knows many of you, and so they're just good friends of our church. We love them. Thank God for them. And they've been serving in the Dominican Republic since 2009, correct, Brother Eric? And have been faithfully. We had the opportunity of going 3 years ago. I can't believe it's been 3 years since we've gone on that trip. Brother Jake, I was just thinking about that earlier. And over supper tonight, we were talking about the siren and everything going off in town. But we had so five of us. So Jake Stringer and Josh Seymour and Jeff and Vanetta Davis, myself, went and took a mission trip to Dominican Republic. And we had a wonderful time. Helped them do a VBS, all the Lord Save Souls, and just a refreshing, encouraging time to see the work of God there and the DR. So, Brother Eric, you come and you give a testimony, show your presentation, and then before you preach, we'll have another song, and then I'll turn you loose with the word, brother. All right. So, Brother Eric, you come and introduce your family.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Well, it's hard to believe it's been almost, well, I guess it's been about 3 years since we've been back here at Crooked Creek. It's such a blessing to see you guys, and we praise the Lord for your prayers and support. Many of you keep in contact with us when we send out prayer letters. They're often asking for prayer requests. You know, I was so thankful for this church and your desire to see us preach the gospel, but then someone came up after right before church and gave us a big stack of chocolates and all kinds of goodies back there. I think you're trying to get me to die before we get back to the mission field. I'm not sure they're going to allow me back on that plane if we eat those, so my kids are going to have to help me out. Thank you so much for your support over the years from the very, very beginning. And I say from the very beginning, as pastors mentioned, my dear wife Holly grew up in this church, spent many years here, and so many of you she's known for a long time, probably years you don't even want to think about how many years you've known each other. I often like that. We think back, wow, the Lord really blesses, but the time flies quickly. Yeah. And in just a minute, they're going to show the presentation. This presentation is a little more brief on the time frame. It kind of shows you what happened in the last year and a half. I know everybody's experience with how the world changed in March 2020 was different. And though we don't necessarily try to focus on it in a way to dramatize it, I think it's really important for you to understand that every country has been different in how they react to COVID-19. And basically, every missionary has a new set of circumstances, and sometimes it's even weekly, the different kind of hoops you have to jump through to serve the Lord. But I can honestly say, in the last 15, 16 months, we've seen more spiritual growth, more people saved, baptized, than probably the previous 2 years. And so you just never know how the Lord sometimes He puts up there's an obstacle. It's for us to just work harder and rely on Him more. And I think you're going to see how the mighty way the Lord has been working in the last year. And you have a vital part in that. Thank you for Pastor and the group coming 3 years ago. We have a lot of funny stories. I'll tell you about that. And Brother Jake, he's a cornhole expert, all right? He knows all about the cornhole. But, you know, they came at a time when one of our churches was getting started and we had a VBS, and it was just extreme chaos. And we were thankful for those Americans there to help us out. And we just thank you for always being behind us, praying us on. You know, sometimes someone even sends an anonymous check and it says from Crooked Creek. And we think, wow, those people back there really care about us and they're praying for us. And that's the kind of thing when the days are tough and you know someone's behind you, praying you on, you keep going forward. So I pray you enjoy this and understand what God's been doing the last 15 months in the Dominican.
Amen, brother.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. In 2009, my wife Holly and I and our daughter Ashley arrived in the Dominican Republic to serve the Lord in the city of San Francisco de Macorís. Since then, we've been blessed with three more wonderful children. Our family has loved serving the Lord here on this beautiful island for over 12 years. We started our first church in 2009, and then in 2017 and 19, we had the great privilege to send out two different families from our congregation to start churches on the north and south side of our city. It's been satisfying as a missionary to see the maturity of these pastors as they begin to train others to serve the Lord. As we headed into 2020, our ministry outlook was one of great optimism and thankfulness, as we had experienced a great abundance of blessings from the Lord. However, in March 2020, the whole world changed. We went from a normal schedule of church services and outreaches to nothing. As was the case with much of the world, we had to learn how to adapt to curfews and restrictions. However, it was during this time that we experienced God's amazing faithfulness like never before. It seemed like every day we received exactly what we needed to continue on until the next day, reflecting on His goodness towards us. During that time, we had to become very creative in how we could minister to our church and the community. We began having virtual church services in our living room and conducting ladies' and men's Bible studies via Zoom. Amazingly, all three churches were able to continue meeting the spiritual needs as best they could, as well as helping meet the physical needs of many who were without.
Our family has always loved ministering together, but sometimes our busy schedule makes it difficult to have sufficient family time. However, in 2020, we had more time together than ever before. We love spending time singing, playing games, and just having a good time. It really was, quite possibly, the best thing we experienced during the lockdowns. On the first Sunday of June, after 12 weeks of no in-person services, the government began to allow churches to reopen. We were overwhelmed by the response of the church family. Not only did just about everyone come back right away, but it seemed like there was an amazing spiritual reawakening happening right before us. We not only saw an increase in the faithfulness of many of the church members, but also a dramatic increase in visitors, salvations, and baptisms.
In March of last year, Pastor Elias, one of our church planters, was able to purchase a piece of property right before the lockdown. In the midst of many changing restrictions, this church has seen exponential growth. Hardly a Sunday goes by without at least one person coming to Christ. Please be in prayer for the upcoming year as they seek to develop this church property not only for their needs, but also for the needs of all three of our churches, as they seek to provide this ample area for church activities like family camp and youth conferences. We praise the Lord for His faithfulness to us in the last 12 years of ministry here in the Dominican Republic. It's been truly extraordinary to see so many lives transformed by the power of the gospel, seeing entire families that have placed their faith in Christ now making an impact in their own communities. Yet we also know that without your faithful prayers and financial support, this would not be possible. And for that, we would like to say, thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Give us a testimony.
Before I give a testimony, let me ask you to pray for Brother Elias. He was the last one we mentioned there. Just this past week, he had kind of a mildly severe car accident, had a concussion, and thankfully he's on the mend. But I'll be praying for him and his recovery. He's about 60 years old, and he's real healthy. He's got good genes. His dad is 103 years old and going strong. So we know he's got more decades of service there, but we want to keep him around. So you pray for Brother Elias and his work. And be in prayer. We've seen, just like we mentioned, I think in the last 3 months, we've had over 18 baptized, many people saved, a lot of people growing in the Lord. One young man who seems like he might be on track to be our youth pastor the next year or so, praying for him. So just a lot of neat things going on. I will say, I'm thankful to be in a church service where I don't have to wear a mask. Believe it or not, in the Dominican, we still have to wear masks in church services. And so there's still some things, some curfews. But, you know, in spite of that, the Lord's working. And I'd like to take the opportunity, if there's a chance for someone to have a question they wanted to ask about the ministry or anything about our time in the Dominican, we'd love to take the time to answer that right now.
Yeah. How about the Pastor Elias? You said that they got the property. Are they going to start building on that property?
So, yes, Pastor Elias has the property. They've built kind of a lean-to, we call it an outside tabernacle, if you will, a couple bathrooms. But the plan in the next year is to develop it, another part of the property, kind of build with a basketball court, multi-use area with a roof, a little bit bigger area. They enjoy having their services kind of with a roof, but kind of outside with the breeze. So in the next 6 months to a year, we're going to continue to develop the church property and construction right there.
Amen.
Who's got a question? The first question is always the toughest, so he got the first one out of the way. That's a good question. Obviously, that we had some situation that happened last night, for those who don't know, in Haiti. Unfortunately, the president was assassinated, and they closed down the borders. We have a lot of friends who are missionaries who go back and forth into the mountains of Haiti and back and forth. And as of today, we heard all of our friends are on the Dominican side and safe. And as far as I know, I think it's not really going to affect dramatically the Dominican Republic. But you can be in prayer. We have many Haitians in our church. Marco is our song leader. He's the one that leads the music and many other families. And so I know that they're very sad about that. And we have an opportunity to serve them. So pray for that. Sometimes the relationship between the Dominicans and Haitians can be strained. And so pray that as Christians, we could help heal that as well. Great, great, great question. Who's got another one? Raise your hand high if I miss it. Okay. Our support level is pretty good. Praise the Lord. It's always been, Lord's taking care of us real well. I was doing an assessment the other day. I noticed that in the last year, there have been a few churches that for financial reasons had to stop supporting, I think, a lot of their missionaries. But I think there's a lot of good churches like yourself that over time sometimes raises the support of their missionaries. Yeah. So we stay pretty close to 100%. And I praise the Lord for that. And He's always provided, as you've seen in the video. But thank you.
Amen.
Any other? I think we're right. That's a great question. When we first started, one of the reasons we chose the northern side of the country is that predominantly in the southern region where the capital is located, Santo Domingo, a city of about 4 million people, which is basically half of the country's population lives in that one city. That's where the majority of the churches, especially the fundamental churches, were located. And so when we saw the north side of the island, it was pretty much wide open. And we weren't the only ones in that maybe a few hour range, but we were one of the first ones. And now, after 12 years, I'd say we have probably 5 to 7 different, whether we sent the church planters out or we have close fellowship, 5 to 7 good independent Baptist churches within about an hour of us. And it's really exciting now, as we mentioned on the property, when we have teen camps and family camps, we're able to invite in a lot of those sister churches in and have big youth conferences. And so that's a blessing after all these years to have just a network of good fundamental churches working together. That's a great question.
And just to give you a context, New Church, you know, we support Sarah, mm-hmm. Sarah Fish, mm-hmm. now Sarah Mora, mm-hmm. and her husband Carlos. And give you a context, too, Eric and Holly are encouragers. They have been there since 2009, and I've heard from other missionaries. They take it upon themselves to try to encourage other missionary families, other national leaders there. And they just had Carlos and Sarah in their home just a couple mm-hmm. weeks.
Just a few weeks ago, that's right.
Yeah, before y'all came. Yeah. So it's neat to see what the Lord's doing there.
Yeah, that's a really great young couple. We've known Carlos since he was a young teenager and doing a great work. In fact, in one of those churches that not very far from us, that's where he kind of grew up learning how to serve the Lord. So we're very thankful for that. Keep praying for that. You know, the best churches, I believe, are the ones that actually have national leadership. Those Dominicans are leading the churches, and that churches will just continue to go on for many, many generations. These are some great questions. Who's got another one? A Okay, so our city is about 200,000 people. It's pretty dense when you think of, I mean, America. We say the next town over. I'm driving. It's like, it's a long ways. Because in the Dominican, I'm 5 minutes from my church and 20 minutes from that church and 20 minutes from that church. But really, they are different communities in many ways. So 200,000 people is in actually a pretty dense area. But our church and the other three churches, if we're in the middle, the other church is probably 15 minutes one direction, and the other is 15 minutes in the other. And pastors spent time, actually we have to go all three churches. One church is kind of in the middle of what we might call a middle-class area. That's our church. Then the second church is up in what we call more of the ghetto. They call it urban area, and it's highly dense, different set of group of people. And then the other church is out in the country. We call it the campo in Spanish, out in the country. And three different dynamics, and yet the Lord has called all three pastors at different times, and it's exciting to see that. But that's a terrific question. Who's got another?
Amen.
Okay. One of the most interesting traditions. That's a good question. I'm going to look at my family. I'm going to think of, let's see. What's that? Well, okay. So after church, we'll tell you some of the funny superstitions. That would take all night. Traditions. I really like, because, we're celebrating the 4th of July this week, and we see all your flags out there. Dominicans are very patriotic. And during the month of January and February, they have different former patriots' birthdays and also their Independence Day is the 27th of February. And it's really exciting sometimes to see there in their traditional Dominican, how would you call it, traditional dresses, the ladies' dresses from back in the 1850s. And they'll have these different marches. And so they're very patriotic. And so I like seeing that. That's some of the neat things. Dominican are very proud of their heritage and their liberty. I think they've had for almost 200 years. That's another great question. What's that? Oh, and so a tradition, food tradition that I like. They love to eat the big roasted pigs on the spit at Christmas, all right? And so that's one I think about. Yeah, that's a great one. All right, is there a last question? Someone got a last question?
Yeah, right here.
All right. That's a great question. I believe he said, how is the lost community, those who weren't saved, how did COVID affect them? And really, as you mentioned, I think we have seen more visitors, more people interested in the things of the Lord than ever before. The Dominican Republic's a pretty religious society in the sense that from their Catholic heritage, people are very respectful of churches and pastors. You get very little disrespect. If you give them a tract or some gospel literature, you will almost never see it on the ground. There's whether it's superstition or just respect, you see that. But the interest to actually go the next step and to come to church, hear the gospel, want to know more, I think we've seen more of an interest in that than maybe our whole time. And we praise the Lord for that. I think people are truly thinking about the future and thinking about their end. And not to say everyone's like this, but in the Dominican Republic, they were very, I would say, very maybe scared in some sense of the virus. And they tend to like to go to the doctor and get medicines for things. And so I think the idea of a virus and maybe taking your life really got many of them thinking about their end. And we praise the Lord for having the opportunity to see so many people saved, or people who were saved maybe away from the Lord. I've seen a lot of that happen, where people got right with the Lord. And, I'll add this. When we first started, our city, for whatever reason, in the very first week or two, maybe month of the pandemic, had a lot of people die, and they got kind of scared, and they literally closed off our city with the military at every exit, and you couldn't leave. And that was a little tough psychologically to know, what we need to do as a family. And now I come to find out, sometimes you hear things, it turns out you could pretty much have gone back and forth if you wanted to, but they didn't tell the people that. I had a friend who, he'd been back and forth five times, and the next day, how'd you do that? So I just told the guy, he let me go through. And so I'm sitting at home thinking, I'm never going to leave this city, And but the Lord was with us. That's what we mentioned in the video. The Lord just gave us so many opportunities. Now, one of the reasons we put so much in there was for us to remember and be very grateful. We had 12 weeks where we couldn't have any church service. And not only that, that was a great blessing. We used to count every week we got after that, and we were very thankful for it. But for almost over a year, we couldn't have midweek Bible study. Now, this is my favorite Bible study of the week is the midweek, where you get a chance to pray what you're going to do tonight. And we missed that as a church congregation, and that was due to the curfews. And so when we were able to do that again, I could just see the joy of the Lord in our people. And we thank the Lord. Keep praying for our country that it will continue on that track. Sometimes they want to change the curfews and things like that. We're praying that this will just get out of here completely and that we can continue on with the Lord. But we know that no matter what the situation is, curfews or not, the Lord is powerful and mighty. And we know that we'll continue to see His mighty hand there in the Dominican.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. And you know, just before Brother Mike comes for our next song, I really believe that the Johnson family is just setting a true model for New Testament missions, churches planting churches, training nationals, teaching others that they may teach others. That is committing themselves to faithful men, and that's what they're doing. And I'm so thankful for their children, too. What a blessing. Ashley's going into eighth grade, and then Tyler's going into fourth. And then Zachary's going into, don't tell me, six. And then Lauren is going into second. Did I get that right? They told me at supper tonight, 2, 4, 6, 8. So that helped me a lot. But thankful for them. You know, a lot of times we don't realize it, but the children of the missionaries, they're on the field. And they are also serving with mom and daddy. They are just an instrumental part of that ministry. And I just want to tell you kids that we love you. And we thank God for how you support mom and daddy and serve alongside them. And we just praise the Lord for that. Well, remember, we will be taking a love offering tonight. You can just leave it in the offering plates. There'll be one in the foyer and then those up here. And it will all go towards the Johnson family and their mission there on the island. And I told Brother Eric tonight over supper, I said, I'm looking forward to taking another team here in the next couple years as God opens that door. Looking forward to that possibility as well. Would you stand with me, church? And then I think Daniel and Jessica will take the juniors. And Brother Mike, you lead us in our next song.
All right. Thank you, brother. Let's turn to
him. It's not on.
You can check it out.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. If you would, this evening, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is where we'll be this evening. You know, Pastor, I was thinking back. I think we first met 4 years ago, but it seems like I've known you all my life.
I know it.
Yes, Pastor's been one of those guys you meet and you just feel like he's been your best friend all your lives. I know you know this, but very blessed to have a pastor who loves the Lord, loves the Word of God, loves missions, and loves you guys. And so I know that is a great blessing. We thank you, Pastor, for your part in our ministry. We'd love to have you again, especially Brother Jake. Can't wait to have him back again. Had a great time with him and Brother Jeff and Ms. Vanetta and Josh. Romans chapter 10. We're starting verse 13. We're going to read 13 through 15, concentrating generally, mostly in verses 14 and 15. But this very familiar passage of Scripture, the Bible reads in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Paul starts in a line of questioning, starting in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Would you bow your head in prayer with me this evening? Heavenly Father, Lord, in this brief time we have, please help us, Lord, to listen to you. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to touch us. We know each and every one of us are in different positions in our lives, Lord. But yet this Scripture is for all of us. I pray, Lord, no matter the position in life, the stage of life, that you would direct our hearts and that we would be obedient to your Holy Spirit. That we would see the great need for gospel preaching around this globe. And help us, Lord, to find our place in that plan of yours, in that role of yours, Lord. And help us, Lord, just to be open to whatever you have for us in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. All right, Pastor said that I have a very short amount of time, and he took me out the Cracker Barrel, so I don't want to let him down, all right? I thank Pastor for his kindness. You know, for those of you who don't know me, I know you guys know Holly. Many of you know Holly growing up here in the church. But for those who don't know me, I had the great privilege at a young age also to receive the Lord due to the diligence of my parents. Teaching me the Word of God and allowed me to go to Bible preaching churches, and I'm very thankful for that. But you know, the older I got, Pastor, I didn't think about how many people in the world never had access to the gospel like I did as a young person. You know, I grew up and I had a Christian heritage. I was very thankful for my family. Thankful that I not only received the Lord at a young age, but I grew up in a home where the Lord was taught and the Word was taught. And I had that great privilege. But so many people in the world never have that same kind of access. And I never thought about it much, but that kind of changed in 2001 when I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip with my church. In fact, it was 20 years ago this summer, to India. Of all places. Now, I grew up in rural West Virginia. And as I say, about the only thing that was about the same in India and West Virginia were people walking around without shoes on, okay? So other than that, everything else was opposite to me. But you know, the Lord used that trip, and I often reflect on that wonderful passage in Lamentations 3:51 that says, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." My heart truly was affected on that trip. And I wasn't affected just because of the poverty I saw, and I saw much poverty. It wasn't only affected by the experiences in which we had, and we had some great experiences. But I think my heart was truly affected because I saw what the oppressive, dark religion can do to people. I saw something I had never seen before, where literally on every street corner you could go and buy idols of made by hand of any size. And you could feel the oppression happening right there before your eyes. People who, if they wanted to know the one true God, would probably not have access to the Word of God. And that really affected me for the first time. And I remember coming home and reading Romans chapter 10 and having those series of verses just come alive for the first time, understanding what Paul is trying to express here to the church in Rome, in the Romans. So let's take a look at this passage this evening, maybe with the same kind of eyes that Paul had. One of understanding that not everyone can just have access to the Word of God. You know, you those of you who grew up here in Georgia, in this area, myself when I grew up in West Virginia, you know, we had the opportunity to choose what kind of Bible church we wanted to go to. If we wanted to go to a smaller church or a middle-sized church or a large church, a church that did this or a church that did that, we had opportunities and choices. A vast majority of the world does not have access to one Bible, let alone a Bible-preaching church. And with that in mind, that is in our background, let us consider this concept, this idea tonight, the logic, the simple logic for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as a way of context, in this chapter 10 of Romans, we see that the Jews were having a very difficult time accepting the fact that there was a gospel that also included the Gentiles. They had rejected the majority of Paul's ministry up to this point because to them the idea of sharing a salvation with the Gentiles didn't seem like it actually could come from God. And so we see this all through the book of Acts up until Acts chapter 8 where they're trying to reach first the Jews, and then in chapter 8 we see them branching out into the Samaritans and eventually to the Gentiles and to the uttermost part of the world. And for us, as we see this difficulty Paul's experiencing trying to reach the Jews and the Gentiles, you know, we don't that's not a unique experience. We see that same kind of spiritual hardness today, 2,000 years later. Whether it's a country far away with a dark religion, or whether it's just living here in the Bible Belt and someone with a hardened heart, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, we need to take time this evening and think about these four logical questions that Paul gives us. They're wonderful questions that provoke our minds and our conscience to this great need, the logical need that the world needs the gospel. Yeah. You know, when I was younger, I grew up in, like I said, in Bible preaching churches. I don't remember as a young person ever saying no to God. I won't serve you, God. But I do know that after that trip in 2001, for the first time, I took my fist and I opened them up. I said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I offered myself unto the Lord, and He directed my steps. And so, briefly this evening, I want us to take a look at three aspects in these two verses, verses 14 and 15, concerning the logical need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Now, before we get to the first aspect, very briefly, I don't want to skip over verse 13. Because verse 13 is, even though one of the most simple verses in Scripture, and maybe one of the first verses you learned as a new believer, it's one of the most powerful verses.
Yes.
It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I love that in verse 11, it says, "Whosoever." In verse 12, it says, "All that call." Verse 13, it says, "Whosoever shall call." Whosoever call in the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a wonderful message to proclaim to every man, every woman.
Yes.
It's a simple message. Christ didn't come for just us, the Americans, or just one nation or one tribe. He came for all.
Amen.
And whoever wants to call on His name can call on His name.
Right.
Sometimes we make it too complicated. Scripture makes it very clear. And I know the majority of people who come on a Wednesday night to pray and to come to worship, the majority have probably already accepted the Lord as their Savior, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm also very careful, as I know, being a pastor, that sometimes people come and they've not made that decision. Well, I have good news for you tonight. There are so many, probably dozens of people here tonight who would love nothing more than at the conclusion of this service to take a Bible and go to a private area and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord. But with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and skip to verse 14. And we're going to notice the first aspect in these two verses that are really important to understand. Very simple thoughts tonight, but we see first the logical need for the gospel. Notice in verse 14, the series of questions Paul begins. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, the logical process here, friends, is very, very clear. Only those who can call on His name can be saved. In other words, only those who know who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what salvation is. And so if that is true, then none can be saved who don't call. And none can call unless they believe. And none can believe unless they hear. And none can hear unless someone tells them. And no one can tell them unless they've been sent. Seems logical, right? Well, let's break those verses down. Let's just look at this. I know these aren't new concepts, but you know, sometimes our mind has to be reminded of things.
Yeah.
To understand what we're missing. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? Now, when we see this word believe, what does it mean in a biblical context? Well, it's very simple. It means to place your faith, your trust, your confidence, your hope in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection, nothing more, nothing less. It's to place your trust in Christ's work on the cross. John chapter 3:36, the Bible says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." The verse doesn't end there. It continues and says, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, it's not talking about future judgment. It's saying if you have not placed your faith and trust in Christ, your current condition between you and God is that the wrath of God abides upon you. We know so many people that have the wrath of God abiding on them right now. This is not future judgment. A lot of times we think, well, maybe one day he'll get right. One day she'll get right. Well, you know what? Right now they're not right. If they haven't heard the gospel and they haven't received Jesus Christ, they're not right and they're on their way to hell. And that's why we have to do something about it. The Lord has enabled us as a church, as believers in Him, to go forth and logically preach this gospel of peace to others. Paul continues with this logical chain, but he does it in inverse order. Notice the second question he asks in verse 14. And how shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? Now we're getting to some tough questions. Now we're getting to some questions that take into account the personal responsibility of the believer. You know, when I was in Bible college, I had an unsaved family member who I love very much who often would say something to me very similar to this. She would say, "Why are you going off to that faraway country to tell them about Jesus when so many people here in our own country haven't heard?" Now, I understood what she was trying to say, and there's certainly some truth to that. There's certainly plenty of people who still need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ here in our own country. I lived for a long time in Northern Virginia, where much of the world seemed to come to that area, and people from all parts of the world I know had never heard the gospel. And so I know that is a reality. But you know, it only takes a few minutes of doing some research to understand how blessed we are to live in this country and have access to the gospel. And then to take time to see how great the need is around the world. You know, I won't beat you across the head with a bunch of statistics this night. But I would like to give a few just to kind of emphasize the point of how great the need is around the world. You know, according to a study, there are over 7,000 known languages in the world. 7,000. Now, I want you all to guess. I want you to be interactive tonight. Guess, out of that 7,000 known languages, how many do you think have an entire copy of God's Word? Give me a number, not a percentage, but a number. Out of 7,000 known languages, how many do you think have an entire copy of God's Word in their own language? Give me some guesses. 300. 1,000. 50. 200. All right. Those are pretty good guesses. The answer is 700. It's 10% of the known world and their languages have a complete copy of God's Word. Praise the Lord, we live in one of those countries, right? Over 4,000 languages, that's more than half of the world's languages, don't have one verse translated in their language. That means John 3:16 has not been translated in more than half of the world's languages. Do you see the need? Do you see how blessed we are? You know, when we're blessed, sometimes it's hard to think about what you don't have because you have it. I praise the Lord, we serve in a country that also has a complete Bible in its own language. But the need is great all across the world. In verse 14, the third question in Paul's sequence continues, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Now we get to the crux of the problem. How can someone believe on Christ if they've not heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Without a preacher. Without someone to explain to them. You know, who really understood this problem more than anyone? Jesus Christ. In Matthew 9, verse 36, at the end of a day where Jesus was serving the multitudes, we see that very familiar passage where it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And this is what drew his heart out. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Tonight, when you're having prayer requests, don't forget the prayer request of Jesus Christ. That he would send forth more laborers to the harvest. You know, I know it's a good thing to pray that your teenagers, after they grow up, and as long as they don't leave town, as long as they stick around, they stay in church. And that's a wonderful prayer. But maybe another step further would be to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send them into the harvest field. Amen. Would send them forth to tell others about him. Those 4,000 languages don't even have John 3:16 in their own language, in their own tongue. How blessed we are today to have God's Word. Many of us have many copies of God's Word in our own home. Many people would die for just one verse in their own language. Can you see the need tonight? Now, when we see that need, it draws us to the second aspect in this passage, which is the practical reality. Okay, so what do we do? Well, verse 15 kind of continues with that. Paul ends his fourth question in the beginning of verse 15. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So God has this whole plan figured out, friends. He says, how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? Well, they're not. Well, then how are they going to believe if they haven't heard? Well, they're not. Well, how are they going to hear without a preacher? They're not. How are they going to preach unless that preacher has been sent? And they're not. In other words, if God doesn't send laborers to preach the truth so that men and women can repent from their sins and trust in him, they can't be saved. Have you thought about that? Well, that's a big statement. Because you know what it's saying? It says you can't be saved by just mystically meditating and considering the stars or looking at the mountains. You can't be saved by getting into a yoga position. Paul tells us exactly how we're saved a few verses later in the same chapter, in verse 17, very clearly. So then faith or salvation cometh by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing by the Word of God. 4,000 languages, more than half the world, basically cannot be saved because they don't have the Word of God. That's a great need. That's the practical reality. That's why we go as missionaries. Now, we don't specifically work in translating, but there's such a great need for translators. There's such a great need for people who can go intellectually and figure out the most important thing in the world, which is God's Word, and putting in other people's languages. So, do we believe this or not? You know, some of these questions of Paul, especially in the beginning, the very first question Paul has when he says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a doctrinal question. But now Paul, at the end of his questioning, he's getting into some more practical questions. He's getting into the logistics, as we call, of the gospel. How can we get the gospel to others so that they may believe? You know, I believe most Christians understand this. I believe most Christians understand this, a great need. But many will never do anything about it. Or sometimes will do very, very little. So what can we do? Well, let's talk about what we can do. The most obvious thing we can do is probably the easiest thing to do and probably the area we fail the most. That's to pray. Pray for missionaries. Pray for missionaries by name. Pray for their protection. I have never felt more vulnerable as a missionary than when I mentioned living in a city where the military has locked down your city and you can't leave. You're relying solely on the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Pray for your missionaries and their protection. Pray for their good health. Without good health, it's hard to do anything, right? Pray for them. Pray for them to understand their language and their culture. Now, I mess up enough in English, but I mess up enough in Spanish all the time. Learning another language, and probably the easiest language to learn from English is Spanish. I praise the Lord I didn't have to go learn something much harder, but we still make so many mistakes, especially me. And I won't tell you all my mistakes, it would take all night, but I want to tell you one funny story. One time, to illustrate how hard it is sometimes to learn a language, the words sometimes can be very close, okay? One time as a young preacher, I was preaching about the servant leader and how Jesus, as he was in the upper room, had gotten on his knees and he was cleaning the feet of the disciples. And for those of you who know Spanish, the word for sandals is sandalias. But there's another word very close to sandalias, which is sandias. Okay, sandia. That's not sandals, all right? I'll tell you what it means in a minute. But so I'm preaching with much fervor about how Jesus Christ, the servant leader, has taking off the sandals, the sandalias of the disciples before he washes their feet. But I didn't say sandalias, I said sandias. The word sandia means watermelon. So I'm preaching with fervor that Jesus took the watermelons off the feet of the disciples and washed them. And I started seeing people looking at each other. What is he talking about? And I'm all of a sudden realizing, what did I say? Pray for your missionaries. We're talking to them. We're sharing the most important news in the world to them. We need to have the right words to say. The proper context. And that's just language. Understanding culture is even more difficult. Understanding what to do in the proper times in a certain culture. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for them daily. That's one of the reasons why we bring prayer cards, so you can put them in your home in some place where you'll be provoked to think about and pray for your missionaries. I know you are a church that does that. I encourage you to continue doing that. Another way you can do is to give financially. This church is known for that. That's not to say that you don't. I know you do. You're very faithful, one of the most faithful. But I know your pastor and then probably the church secretary get probably dozens of calls a week from missionaries wanting to come in and present their burden. There are literally hundreds of missionaries waiting to get to the field if they had the support. And your pastor wishes he could support all of them. I know he does. But he can't. Now, we can only do what we can do. Now, part of it's given out of our resources. But there's other ways you can give. You know, the gentleman who helped us make the video, he's helped us from the very beginning. He has a talent for that I don't have. I praise the Lord. He gives us himself to do that. The lady who designed our prayer cards, former missionary. Someone who gave their time and their effort to help us. There are things that missionaries can't do that we need help with. And we praise the Lord for those who donate. Think about, Lord, how I may not be able to go to the other side of the world, but I can help somebody else get there. Lord, how can I do that? That's the practical reality. How can they preach except they be sent? Lastly, we see the why. or in Spanish, we say el porqué, the why we do this, the motivation, the spiritual motivation of the messengers. Verse 15, we'll be closing with this. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, to be honest with you, I haven't really seen that many beautiful feet in my days, other than my wonderful wife, obviously. But Paul's not talking about physical feet. He's talking about the message that these beautiful feet bring. How beautiful the message is. He's using a parallel passage in Isaiah that's talking about the news that came to Jerusalem at the end of the captivity and how wonderful it was to hear that news. And he's using that as a parallel to say how wonderful it is when someone brings the gospel of peace to a place that needs to hear the gospel. That's why we do it. If we had time tonight, I would tell you all the testimonies of those in our church who have trusted in Christ. We're talking about people who formerly were adulterers, drug dealers, thieves, crooked businessmen, all kinds, who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. And they would say it was beautiful feet, not pastor that he has beautiful feet, but the beautiful message that came when we came to their town and told them about Jesus Christ. And you had a part in that. That's why we give to missions. That's why we pray for missions. And lastly, that's why we're willing to go and be a missionary. Now, I know a lot of people who've gone on short-term trips, like your church. Some have given up their summers to go. Some have given 1 or 2 years to help out. And others have given their lives. Like I mentioned before, the most important thing is that we take our hands and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Because it's logical. There's 7,000 languages. There are 7.6 billion people in the world today. 75,000 plus will die every day. So many of them die with never even hearing one verse of the gospel. What are we going to do about it? You and I can do something about it. We can pray. We can give. We can go. Tonight when you review and you think and you meditate on those verses, think about, Lord, what can I do? Where's my place? You know, sometimes God will call us for a short time and then He'll put us somewhere else. The pastor can talk about that. He understands that you don't stay in the same place sometimes for 50 years. But those who are open to His will and His way, He'll direct our steps. And He'll bless us along the way. You know, growing up, I loved astronauts. I wanted to be an astronaut when I was a little kid. And I love reading about, even today, and watching documentaries on mission control. You know, the church is kind of like mission control for missions, Pastor. You know, it sends the astronaut far, far away. But everyone's back home doing their part. Yeah. Praying. Having their part, their role, supporting the missionary so there's a successful mission. I don't know what part you have to play, but the Lord has a part for you. Pray tonight that the Lord would reveal to you and that you would obey His leading so that we can see the logical need of preaching the gospel of peace around the world. Let's pray tonight.